Good morning. My name is Sue Smith, and I am sitting in this chair for the next hour to talk about home improvement with the man who knows everything about it, and that is Walter Assey. Hi, Walter. Good morning.
Good morning, Sue. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Walter is the president of RenovCo, and you said that one of the first things you wanted to talk about is snow. I mean, everybody is concerned about this massive volume of snow on our roofs, on, I guess everywhere.
I mean, that is the story, and that's going to be the story for a while, because, I mean, my main worry is when the snow melts. Right now, you know, it's cold, so it's in a lot of cases, we think it's benign. It's not going to cause any issues. But, I mean, that's massive amounts of snow around your foundation. That's a massive amount of snow on your roofs. You know, so be mindful of that. There's a lot of preemptive things that have to happen because, you know, once the spring comes or any wild weather, we're going to have, you know, mild weather coming up soon. We're going to start feeling the pain, especially in places where we have certain weaknesses in our foundations or in our roofs as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're actually coming up on mild weather very soon because it's starting to warm up as of today. I just want to interrupt you for a second because we need to give out the numbers, because you can call in and ask Walter a question. And the number is 790-0800. Give us a call, 790-0800, and Walter can ask all your questions. But let's drill down a little bit on that snow. First of all, it's funny. I know we talked about roofs last week, and I want to talk about that again. But you don't always think about the foundation. So what are the concerns with the foundation?
Well, I mean, right now you're going to have a massive overload. The ground is frozen to begin with.
Yeah.
So anything that's going to melt, it's going to go down straight to your foundation wall. Older foundations that have a foundation crack or even pinhole weaknesses where water comes in. So all this water is going to be stuck between the frozen part of the soil and the foundation wall.
Right.
So can you just imagine the hydrostatic pressure there and how much water is going to just...
What's hydrostatic pressure?
So, I mean, anything that you're going to give... when you're going to have water stuck between two solid bodies, and it's just going to push through something that, water
right.
goes through the easiest path, right?
And it'll go through a crack or
that's
oh,
correct.
Yes, that's not
so
good.
So it's, if you go on YouTube and you see, like, for example, foundation crack, and you know how it's gonna go in, how actually water infiltrates through foundation. It's impressive.
Mm.
It's
impressive in a bad way.
In a bad way, exactly. Yes. So let's not underestimate that.
Mm-hmm.
What to do if you can shovel specifically the problematic areas. Like, I would not shovel around the garage because I don't have a basement under the garage.
Right.
So the risk of water infiltration there is minimal.
Yeah.
But I would shovel around areas
like
where...
window wells or...
Specifically window wells.
Yeah.
Like right now, I was going to just speak. I go to see clients and I look at their window wells, and it's like this massive amount of snow is inside their window wells. It's covering their window.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a problem waiting to happen. Just imagine we have mild weather and rain. What's going to happen? So that's a recipe for disaster. We say this because now there's a lot to do about it. You just grab a shovel and these problematic areas, you slowly, you don't have to do it, you know, all today.
Because we've already got a lot of shoveling going on.
I agree. And if you can't and you don't have the, you know, the stamina to do it or the strength to do it, I would hire someone to do it. It's going to cost you a lot cheaper than what's going to happen afterwards.
Yes.
The other thing we're seeing, and we're seeing a lot of, is, you know, we've been seeing water infiltrations even now, and it's cold, but specifically in roofs that have attic issues, so lack of insulation, lack of ventilation, where it's a hot attic,
right.
And it's melting the snow, although it's a big layer of snow, so it's melting the first layer of snow. It's going all the way down to the gutters and backing up into homes, or it's causing water infiltration to the roof shingles just because the roof is old.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already starting to see that, and it's very rare to see that in cold weather. So that's what I'm saying. There's something to be, you know, to be looked at your home. Just go. And sometimes it's not even a question of shoveling the whole roof. You look at the roof. Some areas are more problematic than others. What I'm very concerned about is the accumulation of snow around the gutters areas. So this is where usually it becomes problematic, the first 3 feet, because that's where the ice buildup will happen, and that's how you're going to have water backup.
And I guess, because, I mean, the snow has been quite light, mm-hmm. but now with the milder temperatures, it looks like we might have some like heavier snow to deal with.
Correct. So as soon as the rain sets in, or when we have colder weather afterwards, it's going to turn into ice, it's going to be heavier, and much more difficult to get rid of.
Yeah. Okay, so another reminder to not let that snow sit around your foundations, and of course be careful on the roof, we have to say. I know that last week, Walter, you were suggesting that people call roofers to get them to clear their roofs. That's a safer way. They've got mm-hmm. better equipment. They're probably busy right now, but to your point, maybe not a huge rush. 790-0800. We got lots of calls coming in. Let's go to the lines right now. We've got Steve on the line. With a question about a frozen drain pipe. Hi, Steve.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a tenant's apartment that has a frozen drain pipe in their kitchen sink. Now it's behind the wall, and it's not draining down. So basically, I've tried to put space heaters there, blow dryer, not really working. I'm thinking of, without opening up all the wall and everything, I'm basically looking for some options on how to resolve this.
You said it's a drain pipe? Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, it's a kitchen sink drain mm-hmm. pipe.
Wow, that is rare to see.
Yeah, well, it's on an exterior wall, right? So we haven't had this problem over the years, and this year it occurred. So one of my concerns also, I don't know if the pipe... I don't think it's burst because the water is still right up to the kitchen drain. Like, so it's holding water right now up until the blockage. We've tried to put a fish down there, but we're hitting something. But
and you're sure it's frozen and it's not just a blocked pipe, right?
Well, we put a fish down there. We went a good 10 to 30 feet, and we didn't really see anything to pull it back. So... the suspicion is it's that. I don't know what else it could be.
I very highly doubt that it's frozen drain. Very highly doubt it. It's in the vertical section of the kitchen. Water goes down. There's nothing to stop it to accumulate unless you had a partial blockage and now water kind of pooled somewhere and then you have a draft that made it freeze. So in any which case, that blockage would have to be taken care of. What you could do to make sure 100% is you pass a fish with a camera.
Right. That's what I asked the plumber, and he said for that diameter of pipe, I don't know if he said it wasn't available or
that's
didn't
not
have
true.
It.
That's completely not true. I mean, maybe he doesn't own that piece of equipment, but that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true at all, actually. So, you know, what I would start with is this. So you don't just spend money on nothing. And space heater is not going to unblock your pipe if it's just a blockage. It's extremely rare to have a drain, especially in the vertical part of the drain, to be frozen. I understand if it's a more horizontal part in certain areas, that could happen if you have water that stays in the pipe every time it drains, which is a potential here. But I have a feeling it's more a blockage than a frozen pipe.
Okay, so you're suggesting to revisit the camera option to see
100%.
What it is. Okay.
100%.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, my good pleasure. Idea, Steve. See what's down there. Thank you so much, Steve, for the call, 790-0800. We do have lots of calls coming in, so get in early if you want to talk to Walter Assey. My name is Sue Smith. You are listening to The Home Improvement Show. 21 minutes past 9 o'clock. I'm Sue Smith, sitting in for Joanne Brackes today, and we are talking home improvement with Walter Assey. Hello again, Walter. Lots of calls coming in. Don't forget the phone number, 790-0800. Lots of follow-up calls from what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. And I do want to kind of get to those quickly, but a lot of you have also been waiting a long time. So let's go to Lee, who's been very patiently waiting, about a humidifier. Hi, Lee. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning to both of you.
Thank you.
We've been in our house many years with a oil furnace and a heat pump. Last year, we changed to an electric furnace and a heat pump. I've always had dry skin, my hands, my face. I noticed last week we were in a house that was heated with a gas furnace and a humidifier, and the difference was incredible just in the 4 days we were there. Is it the difference between the gas and the electric, or is it the humidifier that's making the difference? And the other thing is, I also noticed I'm getting shocks recently in the house, in my own house, when I touch a light switch, which I haven't had before. So those are my two issues.
Okay, so let's start with the humidifier.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there are different types of humidifiers. They do make the difference. Doesn't matter the source of energy, whether it's oil or electric.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's forced air. In the winter, of course, everything is dry. So a humidifier is extremely important. There are, depending on the size of the house and the length of the ducts, there are many different options. So, I mean, the best one out there would be the mist-type humidifier.
Mist,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is vapor, it just shoots vapor into the ducts. And it's a bigger amount of humidity that goes into the ducts. The other thing is with humidifiers, something that's often ignored is filters. So if you have a humidifier that you have not changed the filter in a long time, which you should change at least every season you use, you're going to have issues. You're going to also have issues, and that's going to affect the efficiency of the humidifier. If that's what you're suffering from, is that the humidifier is not doing its job. By not changing the filter, or if you have a loss of calcium or hardness in the water. So the calcare would actually block the filters, and that would also hinder the capacity of the humidifier. So these are the things that you have to really look for. Check the filter is the easiest thing to check. Then if that is not good enough, you want to start looking at upgrading to a different model of humidifier that is more efficient.
We don't have a humidifier at all.
Oh, that that solves that problem. Humidifiers, specifically in all the rooms that you live in. So if you spend time in the kitchen, dining room, living room, bedroom, that is very important. And I would keep it on 24 hours a day. But in those rooms, I would put those portable hygrometers, because you want to kind of gauge the humidity levels. You don't want to over-humidify.
Sorry, I heard you talking about these last week. What are those?
So these are just gadgets that give you the relative humidity level in your home.
Right. You can just buy them at the hardware store.
Canadian Tire hardware store.
Okay. Make
sure
you're
buying it from a Canadian hardware
store. On my thermostat, it gives me a humidification percentage.
That's just a percentage.
Just looking at,
that's not
right.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Okay. So you're right. That will give you in that particular location, but that's not accurate. For example, if you have a cottage, that's not accurate. What your bedroom humidity level is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that thermostat is testing the humidity in this general area, and if this general area is not, you know, your bedroom, then that is not going to be giving you the accurate reading.
Okay.
So in the bedroom is really the most important, because that's where you sleep and that's where, you know, you wake up with all the dryness, and you don't sleep well actually when it's too dry.
No.
So you would need one there for sure.
Okay, what's it called again? I'm sorry.
Hygrometer.
Hygrometer, okay.
Hygrometer.
Okay.
With a G.
Like grommet.
Yeah. And right. They're cheap, like $15, $20. You can get them, and don't get the very, very, very cheap ones, because they're not as accurate. But I mean, that is really going to be your indication what to do. Humidify, dehumidify in the summer, and so on and so
right.
forth.
Okay, Lee,
and
we're going to leave it. Oh, you have a follow-up question?
What percentage am I looking for?
Oh, that's a good question.
The ideal that you want to be at is anything above 40% and below 55%. So if you are going, I mean, if you're 40 within the 45 to 50 range, you're great. But don't under that, it's too dry, and over that, it's too humid. Over 55, that is.
Okay.
Good, Lee.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Great questions. I know humidity is such an issue right now with all the dry heat. Listen, we've got lots of callers on the line. I just want to remind you the number, 790-0800. I do want to get to this caller because it's a follow-up on what we were talking about, Walter, at the beginning of the show, which is which is cleaning out windows. So Angelo is on the line, wondering about the proper way to do that. Hi, Angelo.
Hi, good morning to both of you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm getting worried about my basement windows outside. They're covered with about 2.5 to 3 feet of snow. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, I got an email from my insurance company to check my windows because I had leakage in the past. And I just want to know the proper way to do that. Is it enough just to move it 2 feet away from the window, or should I try to clear the whole area? It's a lot of snow there, but I don't know. What would be the best way? What you should recommend? What would be the best way to protect from leakage and removing the snow?
So, is there any window wells, or they're just windows?
Yes, there's windows wells also. There's windows wells, the aluminum ones. Yes.
Okay. So the window well part. So we're gonna talk. We're gonna have to separate this into two different issues. The window well part. It's easy. You wanna dig as to the bottom of your window well.
Okay.
Okay, that would be number one. Because you want to also ensure, we don't know if the window well drain is blocked, and so on and so forth. So you don't want any access, you don't want to help if it rains, you don't want to have that access water and for it to pool. Because even if you have a good window, it's going to find its way in somehow if you have a lot of water. So if you dig within that window well and you go down, that will actually help tremendously.
If I move the snow 2 feet away from the window well, but leave it in the center, would that be okay?
Or? That would be okay for the window well. Now, the other thing that we want to talk about is foundation. So the window well, that will save you. That's not an issue at all. Foundation, if you are worried about water accumulation around your foundation, the real figure for this, and it's probably going to be impossible in this time because of the amount of snow, would be 5 feet minimum. That's if you want to ensure that whatever snow accumulation around does not get to your foundation, if you have a problematic foundation. So that is another story. But if you're just worrying about your window wells, then definitely just by digging down and putting it about a couple of feet or a foot, it doesn't matter.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right, and just a follow-up question, and I apologize to Lee because I did wrap her up because I was looking at all these calls, but someone on the text line reminded me, she did ask about that static question, and I've noticed that too in my house. I get shocked all the time. Sometimes it really hurts.
It could be many different things. I can't really say if she have any... grounding issues, static. It's what you also wear in your shoes. Sometimes just by you switching to a different slipper,
taking off your socks or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it's gonna be one of these things.
Right.
You know,
it's not necessarily something wrong.
Not necessarily something wrong. No, especially if it happens on old sockets. I don't think it's more related. It's more related to static than anything else.
Okay, you're listening to Walter Assey. He is the president of Renovco, and he is here for the next half hour to answer your questions. 790-0900. I see you all waiting on the line, and we are going to get to your calls as soon as we can. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show. It's 10:24, and you are listening to the Home Improvement Show. And we have Walter Assey, who is the president of Renovco, in studio. Hello again, Walter.
Hello.
And lots of people on the line. I see you. We're getting to you. We just had another follow-up about the static question. Mm-hmm. Walter, you wanted to add one thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, she have a dryness problem, and one of the issues with dryness is it does create static electricity.
Right.
So I have a feeling when she does the humidification, the proper humidification, that's going to solve that problem for her.
I'm a convert too. I'm going to go and get a humidifier today as well. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, and thank you so much for your patience. Lou wanted to talk about a new air conditioning unit issue. Funny to talk about air conditioning when it's minus 14, Lou.
Hello, good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
I have a new unit installed last October of this Tosot brand. Before, I smell fresh air.
Okay.
Yesterday, I have to close the unit because I smell like things like heated pee. would that be free on the smell, or?
Okay, so let me just circle back 2 seconds. You said it's an air conditioning unit?
Or yes,
just with a heat pump, I'm hoping.
Yes, with the inverter.
Okay, so you're using it for heat right now?
Yes.
And you installed that last year?
Last October.
Okay. And it's heating well? You don't have any issues with the heat itself or any funny noises or anything like that?
No. It's just the smell that came last week. I tried to fight it off, but I said to my wife, I cannot stand this anymore. I mean, I have to close the...
Okay. So it's probably just filter change. It's more likely not any issues with the Freon or anything like that.
I cleaned the filter on one upstairs and one downstairs already.
When you say clean the filter, what do you mean clean the filter?
Well, there's a filter, right?
It's a paper filter?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't clean these, you replace them. You can't clean a paper filter.
Because according to the book, clean the filter every 3 months.
Okay. Well, if it is a disposable filter, we don't clean these. You have to replace them.
Or replace
every
the
3 months. Yes, you have to replace them every 3 months.
But it says in the book.
Yeah.
You can clean it, right?
If you send me a picture of the filter, I can tell you if it's cleanable or not. But again, if it's a paper filter, I've never.
No, it's not paper filter. It's like plastic.
It's a plastic filter.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't mind sending me a picture on the Ask Walter button, I will take a look at that and I'll let you know. But I can tell you for a fact it's not a Freon issue. Because if it's a Freon issue or anything like that related, then you're going to have an issue with the efficiency of the heating. You're going to have issues with the heat pump doing its job. And it's not the case. If it's a bad smell, it's usually associated with a blocked filter of some kind. Unless the smell that you're smelling is maybe you're not describing it adequately. Meaning, if it's a burnt smell, that's another story. If it's I think you said pea smell, it's probably filter related. Do you have any animals in the house?
No, it's just my wife and myself. And I always vacuum the area where the units are.
Yeah, so that's a bit of a strange situation. Send me a picture of the filter. Let's start with that, and I'll see how I can help you.
Thank you so much for that call, Lou. And Walter, can you remind people how they can send you things on the Ask Walter button?
And you go to our website, runofco.com. There's an Ask Walter button. It just pops up right on the page. And I know that the show runs in different markets at different times, and not all of it is live. And that's how I communicate with you guys. And
Perfect.
I promise to get to you as fast as I can.
He reads them all. Okay, let's go to Ellen. Has been very patiently waiting on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Ellen. You've got a water leakage.
Thank you kindly. Yes, I came home yesterday, and again in my kitchen, there's two holes of water leakage. I mentioned it to my landlord because I previously, a week before, had a huge leakage as well. And she keeps telling me, I don't know what to do. It just has to dry up. And she owns many, many fourplexes. And it's very hard to live like this because it's getting brown on the ceiling. I don't want to have mold or anything because I'm asthmatic.
So do you live on the top floor, so above you is a roof, or there's another tenant above
you? There's a tenant on top, and okay. She says it's his bathroom on top of me, but she just laughs. I don't know how to handle this.
Okay, and have you reached out to the tenant to see what are they doing, if they have any issues with their bathroom, or maybe when they take showers, they're a bit overzealous in using the water, or...?
The tenant says the landlord doesn't want him talking to me or anybody. I don't know what to do because it's in a kitchen for good hygiene. It doesn't feel
100%
too safe.
100%. So what you're going to start by doing is you're going to document this and you're going to send everything in writing. No more communication.
Okay.
And you're going to send it in a letter of demand fashion, so mise en demeure, and you're going to give them a certain amount of days to fix it.
Yeah.
You're going to send pictures and you're going to say, you know, if you know, this is going to create mold, that's bad for house and so on and so forth. And I'm going to ask you to do the repairs and to stop the cause, not just to come and repair in your home, because you would have to open up that wet area and disinfect it, especially now that it's turning brown. So we know that, you know, something is festering there and mold usually starts forming within 24 to 48 hours after an unremediated water damage.
Okay.
So the chances are you already have some type of mold activity and you would need to have it disinfected. Having said that, you could definitely take them to the rental board if they don't follow through in the repairs. And, you know, usually 9 out of 10 times, you'll definitely win this hands down. There's no question about it.
Yeah, although it does take time. And when you say the mise en demeure, do you mean a legal letter? You need a lawyer to draw it up?
Absolutely not. You could do it yourself. You just have to send it by registered mail, so you make sure that you have a proof of receipt from the other party. And you can give them a certain amount of days. After that expires, you show good faith and you say, I'm going to give you an extra X amount of days. Now, there is a point where you can communicate with the render board and take some advice, because there, in certain cases, you might be able to take some form of action yourself.
Yeah, repair it yourself.
Correct. But you... That you do through the rental board, you explain them the steps that you've taken just to make sure that you have not missed anything, and still have a communication with the tenant upstairs and, you know, tell him, you know, please, whatever you're doing, tell me what it is. Try to get, you know, informally the reason behind it. It could be a very old bathroom that the landlord is also refusing to renovate, and, you know, there's a lot of slum landlords, unfortunately, out there. And, you know, that will actually put some more information in your letter that you can, you know, build up your case for the rental board.
All right. Ellen, does that answer your questions? You've got to send a legal letter via registered mail.
Okay. And the name, sir, that you mentioned to me, there was a name, how to address it, you said?
Rental, mise en demeure, or letter of... Oh, it's a without prejudice letter.
Without prejudice.
Correct. And you give them a certain amount of days and you send it by registered mail. Now, one of the things you could do meanwhile, if you are worried about mold, is get a heavy gauge plastic. So vapor barrier 6 mil, that would be your minimum. And you try to tape it around the area that the water damage occurred, and you see the browning and the discoloration. So what we're trying to do is just, you know, that's not going to stop the cavity mold, but it will at least block off the spores until that gets fixed. So the airborne spores that can come out from the discoloration.
Oh, because the water that leaks, it's like the color, it's like brownish.
Yeah, so that's
from the toilet.
Probably from the toilet. So that's probably from the... And believe it or not, that could be a very quick fix. I can't believe the landlord is not actually...
Well, that's it, because it could have bad consequences.
Could be a wax seal or improperly installed toilet.
Yeah, sometimes a wax seal, exactly, especially on an old toilet. Ellen, thanks so much for that call. 790-0800 is the number to call. We're in conversation with Walter Assey. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. I'm Sue Smith with Walter Assey today, who is the president of Renovco. And we've been talking about clearing snow. We've been talking about heat pumps. And, you know, it's possible that covering the snow and the vents, a listener is suggesting on the text line, also has an effect in the house. The snow creates a lot of problems, Walter.
It definitely does. Yeah. I had my microphone off.
Yeah, that's okay.
it definitely does. And I mean, you know, like from the previous listener, as you were mentioning before, it could also be snow around the heat pump.
Yep.
That's something that we forget to talk about, and we should. That have to be cleaned up. gonna be, you know, with how high the snow is, I'm sure a lot of heat pumps are just buried under a ton of snow.
Yeah, so you have to dig that out too.
You have to dig that out, make sure they're not obstructed.
I guess dryer vents too, like any kind of vent that comes out of your house.
Dryer vents and plumbing vents on your roof. You're going to have a lot of people now suffering from, problems, and especially when they flush or they use, you know, draining, you're going to hear some gurgling noises. So these are telltale signs that your roof vents are blocked.
Okay. Yeah, I know a couple of people on the phone line have questions about sound coming up from the pipes. Let's talk about bathroom drains, though. Ron is on the line. Ron, thank you so much for your patience. What's your question for Walter?
Yeah, maybe he answered it anyways. My bathtub doesn't drain good at all. Now, should I have a queen, maybe do the hair in the drain?
You mean clean the hair in the drain?
No. Well, whether it's hair, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't drain that good.
Yeah, I mean, it's you, and that's common in bathtubs. After a while, you're right. One of the primary reasons why it clogs up is hair. So you definitely, it's probably an easy fix. The last thing I would tell you is to use those Drano products or anything like that, because these are chemicals and they're not good for the pipes.
Okay.
Just Pacifish, and that's the end of that story. There's nothing much to it.
Okay, so CLR, stuff like it's no good?
No.
And like
no chemicals in the pipe. This is a Band-Aid fix to begin with, so it could partially unblock, but it will never completely unblock your pipe. But if you use that long-term, it will damage the pipes.
Yeah, anyways, like I said, it's winter time, so it could be blocking the thing on the roof, the hole.
It's more gurgling noise that you start hearing.
Okay, so that means it's not going through the air, right?
That's correct. And if it's more blockage, then it's probably just a question of a blocked drain or partially blocked drain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much,
Have
Ron. And those fish are amazing. They're quite satisfying when you get a big clump.
When you make
pull it up. It's very satisfying. All right. Thank you for that call, Ron. Let's go to Eric on the line talking about an insulated block foundation. Eric, what's your question for Walter?
Yes, good morning. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Hello, my guru.
That'd be you, Walter.
That's Walter, yeah. My question is, I'm working on doing an extension at a residential home. Mm-hmm. And usually I would do it like with a standard foundation, the concrete and the form. But now I'm looking and I'm seeing a lot of people using the insulated forms. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know, I've been following it since, they started, and I see it's a viable option, but I wanted your thoughts on, the technology and, versus the price of the standard system, and which type, because there's so many out there,
Mm-hmm. I mean, the technology is great. It's usually a better system, specifically when you don't have or own the concrete forms to pour foundations, because you don't need those forms. So there is some time savings. It does require a certain skill set and training. So if you haven't done it before, especially the first time, you're gonna have to. There's a learning curve there for sure. The pricing is another. So if you don't have the forms, it will make a lot more sense. If you do have the forms, it will make a lot less sense.
Now, I would hire a sub, but I know it's, in terms of the labor, it's quicker, because I've helped somebody do a couple of them, so it's quicker. But then I look at, once you've done that, you still have to contend with what you're going to put on the inside, So that's the whole thing.
What do you mean what you're going to be putting on the inside?
Well, in other words, the system that I see, it's like a foam block, and then they pour, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But then on the inside, how do you treat that? So does that cost too, involved? So, but initially, just for the initial foundation, what do you think of the technology?
I mean, the technology is fantastic. It's great. The price is something that you have to consider, because it is It is where it becomes less interesting is when, you know, you have the forms and you do the comparable. When you don't have the forms and you're doing it yourself, it makes a sense because you don't have to go get the forms and do it. And you're going to save money on the labor if you are quick at it. If you're not, it is time consuming. I've seen some contractors actually take a lot longer just because they haven't had the training for it.
The thing, yeah.
Correct. But I mean, as far as installation is great, as far as structure is great, you know, and the extensions, it's fairly easy. So there's not a lot of issues with it. I mean, in general, it's a good technology. As far as manufacturers are concerned, there's a lot of great Canadian manufacturers. I'm not going to endorse one brand over another, but I haven't seen one that I didn't like particularly thus far.
All right, Eric, thank you so much for that call. A little bit of insider baseball there. And I'm afraid that is all the time we have for the Home Improvement Show today. There are people still waiting on the line, and I want to encourage you to go to the Ask Walter button. Walter, you want to remind everybody how to do that?
You go to renofco.com, and it's going to pop out at the first page, and you just ask Walter.
Ask Walter. It's as simple as that. And you read them all, apparently. So my thank you to Walter Assey, who is the president of Renovco, and thank you to everybody who called in. Got a couple of questions on the text line as well. Sorry that we weren't able to get to that, but hey, you know what? You can always try again next Saturday. And I guess we'll leave you with shovel, shovel, shovel.
There you
go. Right, Walter? Yeah. Shovel your foundation, shovel your vents, shovel your heat pump, shovel your roof. Get someone else to shovel your roof. I'm Sue Smith. Thank you for spending this time with us, and we'll see you next week.